Well, welcome aboard tonight, folks. We are live right now here at Omega Man Radio. My name is Shannon Davis, and welcome to the show tonight. I've got a real special treat for you. Back in the house tonight is Pastor David Ells of Unleavened Bread Ministries. Brother David, welcome back, my friend. How are you doing this evening?
I'm so blessed. I'm glad to be with you, Shannon.
And, brother, we're glad to have a man of God here tonight. And, my friend, before you bring tonight's teaching, would you be so kind as to open up this show in prayer?
Sure. Well, Father, we love you so much, Lord. Father, we ask you to draw us close to you in these days, Lord. We ask you to give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and truth, all such things that 'll keep us in the days to come. We thank you for fulfilling the sacrifice of Jesus in our lives. We thank you that that we don't live anymore, but Christ lives in us by faith. And we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for finishing the work you've started in us, Lord, and we thank you for all the good plans you've got for your people in these days. Amen.
Amen. Brother David, before you bring the word of the Lord tonight, would you tell people that may be tuning in for the first time here, hearing you, about your ministry, Unleavened Bread? Any details you'd like to give out tonight?
Okay, well, I guess Unleavened Bread is not descriptive enough for a lot of people, but it's a teaching ministry. We specialize in getting into the Word, not adding to it or taking from it, just finding the truth, sharing the truth. We've had a very miraculous ministry of signs and wonders, and most of all, and even more important than that, is drawing close to the Lord and coming into His image. We do believe that that's the whole plan of God, is that Jesus left here in an individual body, but He came back in a corporate body. We are called the body of Christ, which means that Christ is the one that's supposed to live in us. And, of course, we do that by the Word and by the Spirit. As we sow the seed in our heart, according to the parable of the sower, Christ is manifested in us by that and by the power of His Spirit. So anybody can go to our site and peruse the site. We're ubm1.org is our site. There's lots of books, tapes, audios, videos there for the taking, free. All of it's free. And you're welcome. So,
praise the Lord. And David, what is that website address?
UBM1.org.
UBM1.org. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. David, are you still there at unleavenedbreadministries.org, either way.
Okay. Now, David, also, do you do a regular radio broadcast that people can tune into each week?
Yes, we do. It's all on the front page of our site. We do on Wednesdays and Sundays, and it keeps us pretty busy.
Praise God. I know you've been busy because you have put out some awesome books. Tell us about a few of the titles that are available out there that the Lord has had you to write, put together.
Okay. Well, I guess Sovereign God is the first book that we put out. It's a real good starter. It gives a lot of people a lot of, I would say, rest in the Lord. And we have Hidden Manna for the End Times. It's revelations that the Lord gave me through Word of Knowledge and Word of Wisdom, which I received back when I was about a year old in the Lord. And just things the Lord spoke to me that opened up a lot of understanding in the Word, and it's been a blessing to a lot of people. We have a book called Well, we have a book that's Numeric English New Testament. It's a New Testament put together by Bible Numerics, which is a pattern that God put in the Scriptures in order to bring us back to the original wording. And it's the most accurate New Testament in the world. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We have a book called The Real Good News. It's all about how that God has provided everything for us already, and how people have such a small idea of what salvation is all about. But it's very, very big. And God's provided it all so that we can believe we have received everything that we pray for, as Jesus taught us. And we have a book called Perfection Through Christ. And it's how God, through our faith, brings us to maturity in Christ and manifests Christ in us, which we call sonship. And we're coming into His image daily as we walk by faith in Him. We have a book called How Shall We Die? It's all about losing your life so that you may gain your life in this world. Jesus taught us that. I think it's a very, very important book. Many people are seeking the ways of the world, the things of the world, and so on and so forth. But the most important thing is for us to die so that Christ can be resurrected in us. And we have a book called Man, Child, and Bride Prophecy, which is revelations from Esther that the Lord gave me through word of knowledge and wisdom. Destructive demon doctrines. Are you following a wolf? The tongue conquers the curse. Weakness, the way to God's power. Speak grace, not condemnation. The curse of unforgiveness. Salvation, instant and progressive. What has been shall be. The man-child returns. Beloved spiritual Israel. And there's some that's not even on there yet. So,
means
keep you busy.
You've got more coming.
Yes.
Praise
God.
In
the pipeline, there's some that are finished and they're already for sale, but I don't think they've been put on the... We don't sell our books. Lulu actually prints our books for, and we don't take any money from them, or we don't make any money off of the books. That's what we demanded when we went to them. And normally, which we're going to start doing again, we bulk print our books so that we can give them away a lot cheaper. But all the books are on the site in as e-books, and anybody can read them. Anybody can go there and read them. So.
Well, I tell you, I'm excited to hear that, and I just received a Christmas present the other day. My good friends Albert and Lisa Gold from Texas sent me three of your books.
Oh, yeah, good friends. Yeah.
I got The Real Good News from Albert and Lisa. They sent me How Shall We Die in the Numeric English New Testament. Now, brother, I get a lot of books, and I'm currently, I think, 14 years behind. It was 12 years last time. I think I'm 14 years behind now in reading. Yeah. But I'm going to put these at the top of the stack. And I have them out here. I'm looking at them right now because I really want to read these. I'll tell you, before you bring the word, I really appreciate folks, Brother David. We have never met in person, but I had my first encounter with the ministry of Brother David Ells and Unleavened Bread Ministries when I was in Panama, David, and I'd gotten a hold of some of the Prophecy Club tapes by Stan Johnson, some of the early lectures you had done and teaching, and I would watch those in Panama. And, you know, that really spoke to me. And I said, you know, this is the truth of the Word of God that you don't hear preached in a lot of churches. And it was about that time, you know, Hurricane Katrina was coming through. It was 2005 or so. A lot of crises in the world. And, you know, I had developed a spirit of fear. And, of course, I knew a lot about what was going on, and I was just angry at the plan of the New World Order and what the enemy wanted to do to, you know, my country, America. And, you know, I had taken it to heart that, you know, I'm going to fight back in the arm of the flesh. And I began to plan and strategize how I was going to go about doing that. And, you know, I felt uneasy in my spirit. One hand, I am tired of what the enemy's doing, stealing liberty, wants to bring destruction and on the country, you know, keep people in bondage. On the other hand, I just felt there's something wrong here with my attitude. So I took it to the Lord in prayer. And I said, God, I'm fully committed to fighting what I perceive as, you know, an imminent threat, and somebody's got to do something about it, Lord. I will certainly roll up my sleeves and get in the battle. But I said, if this is not what you want me to do, I need you to speak to me. And it was when I asked the Lord's opinion rather than doing what I wanted to do, I opened up the Word of God, and Scripture popped out right at me. It said, some trust in horses and others in chariots, but you'll trust in the Lord thy God. And I said, wait a minute, God's speaking to me here. And then all of a sudden, boom, he brought to memory your name. And I went over to see what the Lord was trying to show me, and I found the article that you wrote, The Sword of the Cross. And I believe you have that scripture there somewhere in that text. And the bottom line here is God showed me that there was another way. That's not what he wants us to do, fight in the arm of the flesh. And those that seek to do that, seek to save their life, are going to lose it. You know, this is at the time when there's a lot of patriotism going on and still is out there, you know, militias and so forth. But God was showing me that I had the wrong game plan. It would ultimately destroy me if I were to go down that path. I want to say publicly, thank you, David, for taking a stance that's not popular out there. You know, preaching the truth is not always popular, going to win you friends. But you know what? It saved my life. Because I was headed in the wrong direction. And that one article that you wrote, The Sword of the Cross, literally turned my life around. And so I praise God for you, and praise God that you're here tonight. And I could waste all of our time, and I don't want to do that, because it's rare we're able to get you here. But folks, I promise to pursue David. I know he's busy, but we're going to try to get him on at least one time a month. Without any further ado, David, we got another 45 minutes. I want you to take it and run with it and bring the word of the Lord, whatever God would have you to speak tonight.
Okay. Well, you know, I thought about sharing some of the wonderful miracles, and Shannon and I talked about that last time I spoke with him. But the closer I got to this day, the more the Lord was impressing me that there was something else he wanted to share that was more important. And, you know, when I came to the Lord, I was not a very studious person. I was kind of backward because I had a spirit of rejection. And but a gift just fell on me to desire to know God and to understand the Word. And it was very powerful. It was totally contrary to whatever anybody knew about me. I was, like I said, not a studious person. I was just a playboy, and I didn't really want to serve anybody but myself. But when I picked up the Bible, it was just, I just couldn't put it down. And I was wanting and hungering to know who God was, what he believed, what he wanted of me, so on and so forth. I was really seeking after God. I was really wanting more and more of God, and I couldn't get enough of the Word. And as I was seeking him and desiring him, gifts started coming to me that I didn't even ask for. And I realized that a lot of people are seeking the gifts, and there's nothing wrong with desiring earnestly spiritual gifts. But I realized that God can trust somebody who desires him more with the gifts than those who just desire his gifts. He wants us to want him, and he is the fruit of the Spirit. That's who he is. And he is the Word of God. And he doesn't really trust man to do his work. That's why we were transformed by the renewing of our mind. Into what? Into Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. He trusts Christ. Well, Shannon pointed out something very important. You know, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Many out there are struggling and striving and fighting, and they don't understand why God's not helping them. you know, because they're really just going in the wrong direction. You know, God is sovereign over everything. I mean, he has vessels of honor. He has vessels of dishonor. He works in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even we can even see in the scriptures how that the Apostle Paul used the power of Satan to chasten people. He turned man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit wouldn't be saved in the day of the Lord. And Hymenaeus and Alexander, he turned them over to Satan. You know, he gave us authority over the power, all the power of the enemy. Now, authority is the right to use the power. And the Apostle Paul was using the power, not unlike God, who also uses that power. He turns people over to Satan when they walk in the flesh, when they walk in willful disobedience, when they're unforgiving towards other people, on and on. He turns people over to the tormentors if they don't forgive. He uses the power of the devil. Well, you know, he makes these awesome statements in his word that he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and no man restrains his hand. He works all things after the counsel of his will. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Well, we had this funny idea that God's in a war with the devil, and you never quite know who's going to win. But the truth is, God's going to win, and he's going to win every time. And it is true that the devil is there to administer the curse whenever anybody gets out from under the blood. That's part of God's plan, too. Oh, you want more of the devil? Well, I'll give you more of the devil. You know, he does that, too. He teaches us lessons with the devil. But he is sovereign over all the lesson and all of his crops down here. He is sovereign over it to bear fruit, to manifest sonship in his people. And anyway, while I was seeking him, seeking his fruit, desiring after him, I studied faith too. I studied all the mechanics of faith as a young man in the Lord. But when I was seeking after him to get answers to my questions, which would pop into my mind, I would seek out. I learned things. He spoke to me things like, the sum of thy words is truth, that I was not to settle for what a few verses say, but what, the sum of thy words say. You know, so obviously it takes a while to do that, and you have to be resting in the Lord and waiting on him to put the full picture together. But some people grab up a couple of pieces to the puzzle and go start running with it, and that's not how we really seek God. It's not how we find truth either. If it's the sum of thy words, then everything the Bible talks about on that particular subject needs to be included, you know, and that's the only way you can really find truth. And it will fit together, too. And but God is sovereign over all things to bring us into his image. And but he gives grace to those that seek his fruit so much more than those who only seek his gifts, his power, gifts, and so on and so forth. Because some people do it for their own glory, and they don't realize that you'll never be able to manifest the gifts if you're not seeking the glory of God. It's just not going to happen. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 on down. It says, for look at your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are chosen, but God chose the foolish of the world. And I left out the word things because in the original that was not in there, because it's talking about people. So I'm going to leave out the word things here, and I'm just going to read it. I'm reading, by the way, in this particular text from the Numeric English New Testament. And so he said, not many mighty, not many noble are chosen, but God chose the foolish of the world, and he put to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world, and that he put to shame the strong, and the ignoble of the world, and the despised did God choose, and that which is not, that he might bring to naught those that are. and that no flesh should glory before God. Now I thought, well, Lord, that's kind of true in my background because, you know, I was one of five children, and I think all of them were smarter than me, but most of all because they were studious, they went to college and all these good things, you know, and I wasn't really interested. I just wanted to be a playboy and have a good time. But when I met God, I picked up the Bible and started reading the Bible. It just grabbed me. And I mean, he just grabbed me. And he gave me this gift of desire after him. So, but, you know, my brothers and sisters were all, I would say, smarter than me. But it didn't make any difference because I'm qualified because of this text here, right? He didn't choose the mighty, the wise, the, you know, so on and so forth, all the great things of the world. Why did God do that? Why does he choose people? Well, for instance, Jesus chose those ignorant fishermen and tax collectors and people like that. He didn't go to the Bible school down the street where the Pharisees were. And even when he picked Paul, he had to knock his brains out and start all over, you know. So why did he pick these guys? They were trainable. They were humble because of their position. They weren't puffed up through knowledge or knowledge so-called. And they were trainable, and they would listen to Jesus. Where else shall we go, Lord? You have the words of life. You know, they said to him, actually, when a crowd left him, which was in John 6:6-6, they left, and he turned to them, and they said, are you two going? No, where else are we going, Lord? You have the words of life. Well, that's the way I feel about it. I don't have any natural wisdom or gift or power. I've seen great and mighty powerful gifts move through me, but I always knew it was God, and I always knew it wasn't me, you know, and I always knew too that I'd better give credit to God because the reason he chooses the weak is because that he doesn't want any flesh to glory before him. And if you try it, you'll lose what he's giving you. And he wants us to stay humble, just like he found us, because of our weakness, like those fishermen, you know. Not great education. It's not all these things that make it important. I remember what the Apostle Paul said. You know, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, he said, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my weaknesses. Well, that's interesting because, you know, God chose to put this treasure in earthen vessels so that the exceeding greatness of the power would be of God and not of ourselves. And he chose the weak things so that people wouldn't consider that these gifts, these miracles, these signs, this fruit, so on and so forth, was coming from this person, but they can see the miracle of God. He chooses the weak in order to show himself. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says in verse 9, he said, and he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God loves to manifest his power, but he loves to manifest it in weakness so that the exceeding greatness of the power would be of God and everybody would know it. How many times did Israel ever win a battle when they were in the majority? Well, and why in the world did God put them out there on mules instead of big, strong horses? He refused them to have horses. He wanted them to be weak. He wanted them to know he was their Savior, and he wanted them to have a natural weakness so that God's power could rest upon them. And, you know, people are very competitive today about seeking out the gifts and seeking out power and then bragging upon what God is doing. But really, sometimes they're just bragging upon themselves. And God knows that. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking in this word to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, the fruit of Jesus will always be powerful because he is his fruit. And he is the word made flesh. If you seek and desire after the fruit, the power will be there. If you seek out the gifts for any ulterior motives, you know, because they're so highly respected among people and they look at people. Have you ever noticed a guy might have a gift of healing, for instance? And some reason they let this bleed over into doctrine and teaching and so on. If he's got miracles, well, my gosh, he must be right about everything else too. Well, how stupid can you get? You know, because it's just not that way. You know, just because you have a gift does not make you, or because you are an evangelist does not make you a teacher, right? So obviously God chooses the weak because his power is made perfect in weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We glory in our weaknesses, in our inability. Now, we're not unable in Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and he wants us to know that. But we are incapable without him. We can do nothing without him. And even Jesus said that of the Father, that he could do nothing without the Father. Well, if it's true of him, it's true of us. We can do nothing without him. But we're not without him. He is with us. He just wants us to be humble. He wants us to know that we've got nothing to be proud about. We don't have anything to give that wasn't first given to us. And if you've got any gift from God, it's one that he put in you. You know, Jesus, as you know, manifested all these wonderful, powerful gifts. But that was the Word made flesh. You know, when he spoke into those disciples, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That spirit and life that he spoke went into them and recreated himself in them. The power was that Jesus lived in them. And the gifts were manifested that were manifested through Jesus were also manifested through them. And he said in this text again, wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses and in injuries and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Awesome. Well, you know, God said in James chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 6 on down. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore the scripture saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Well, okay. So he picked those humble fishermen. He didn't take the Bible school crowd because they had already been trained in what they were supposed to believe, and they were not able to change their minds because somehow pride gets in there. And religious spirits get in there, and you're not able to turn them loose or get free from them, you know. But God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, we need grace for everything. Grace is just God's favor. And, you know, when I was seeking after God, desiring after God, not necessarily looking for the gifts, he started giving them to me. Well, for one thing, I was putting the word in my heart, and faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. I was starting to hear from God, and I was believing the word. I hadn't been raised to believe that the scriptures was not true today. I'll just tell you, I was raised a Catholic, and they didn't teach us the word, and I didn't know the Lord either. And so when I did. When a Baptist friend challenged me to read the Word because of the truths that were there and the prophecies fulfilled and so I was just curious, so I did. And when I did, God reached out and grabbed me. and I, like I said, I couldn't put the Word down. And and I love it to this day. And that's been over 40 years that I've been doing this, running after God. But when you put the Word of God in your heart, you're putting grace and faith in you. You know, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves; it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Once again, God does not want us to have any reason to boast. The faith that he puts in us is a gift from him. He can take it back as easily as he can give it. And he wants to tell us that when he gives you grace, you know, he giveth grace to the humble. By grace have you been saved through faith. One way that grace comes to you is through faith. You get faith. You get faith to believe God. You know, some of the most tremendous miracles I've ever seen were some of the easiest and simplest things. It just seemed like I really had very little to do with it, except for maybe speaking a word or something and seeing a miracle. And I was involved in that, like, I think about 6 weeks ago. A man was resurrected from the dead. He'd been, 35 minutes at least dead, without heartbeat, without breathing, and God brought the man back to life. And now who can do that? And who can give the grace to do that? That is not of ourselves, saints. And if you try to work it up in yourself, it just won't happen. You know, you glory in your weaknesses so that the power of God will rest upon you. Because everything is by grace. We're saved by grace through faith, and that's not even ours. It's a gift from God. You know, what do we have to brag about? What do we have to be proud of? We have to walk very humbly before God if we want the power of God to manifest through us, right? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. He will not exalt somebody that's not humble, because you can't trust somebody that's not humble. They're out to, magnify their own ego, you know. But God says no. And also, he goes on to say, speak not one against another, brethren. There are people out there, they're heresy hunters, and they're out to make themselves look good at everybody else's expense. They're going to go out and make it their job to straighten everybody out and criticize everybody, and they get nothing from God. They have delusions of grandeur, but they get nothing from God. And when the time comes, it'll be a sad story. It'll be kind of like in Matthew chapter 7. Let me read that to you. I'm going to read 19 on down. It says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Notice he didn't say gifts. He said fruit. The qualification for the kingdom is not gifts. It's fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? Notice, these people thought that their right to the kingdom had to do with their works. Even if it was God's works through them, they thought it was their works. They thought it was their gifts that was qualifying them for the kingdom. And God said, no, you missed it. It's fruit. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, he didn't say they weren't manifesting these gifts. Casting out demons is a good thing. Now, we do it all the time. And mighty works is a good thing. Prophesying is a good thing. All these are good things. But they're gifts that are given and gifts that can be taken. They have nothing to do with the one who is inside of you. What God wants you to be is the Word made flesh, just like your spiritual father. I don't call him the father. I call him a spiritual father because he's the one that sowed the seed, the sperma, in our hearts, which is the Word of God that brings forth the fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in the parable of the sower. Notice, those were the ones that entered the kingdom. There was four groups there, but only one bore fruit. It was the one that bore fruit that entered the kingdom. Do you think some of those other people might have had gifts? Well, sure, lots of people have gifts. Notice he said many are going to say in that day, Lord, look at our gifts. And he said, no, I'm looking at your fruit. You know, if you, the thing you ought to be seeking first is the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his fruit. God can trust you with the gifts if you're righteous. He can trust you with the gifts if you have fruit. You know, inside the fruit is the seed, right? See, that's what a lot of people don't realize. The seed that God wants to use to bring forth a new crop through you is in the fruit. Notice, in nature, that's the way it is. Okay, so we need the fruit more than we need the gifts. However, if we've got the fruit, which is Christ in you, the fruit of the Spirit, which is Christ in you, his attributes in you, his nature in you, if we've got that in us, he's going to give us the gifts because he can trust us. He can't trust us to handle his gifts. He wants Christ to handle his gifts. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Have you ever noticed? The only one that's going to heaven is Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that? No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. And Jesus said he was that bread, that manna, that word that came down out of heaven that gives life. And so we eat that bread, and out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they which believed on him were to receive. So what we need to do is manifest Christ and let him do the work through us. We still don't get any credit for it. You know that that body that you walk around in is just the clay that he plants the seed in. And the old nature, the old soul, the old mind of the flesh, all that's got to die. The one who is inside of you that came from the natural inheritance has to die so that Christ in you can live. We are the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? Well, he does. And this is his plan. This is what he wants to give you. He wants to give it to you by giving you the fruit, right? If you take your faith and go after the fruit of God, like 2 Peter, I'm just going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 on down. It says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge of God. Think about that. Think how much you need that. Seeing that his divine power hath granted, that means he's already given it. He did it at the cross. That's why Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. It's past tense. Even the received text has a footnote that it's past tense. Received. You have received. You received it all at the cross. You see? But now you have to reach out and take it by faith. So he says, seeing, this is what we have to see in the Spirit, right? That his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life. That's Zoe. That's God's life. He's already given us everything that pertains unto God's life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So You know, what I got a gift in the beginning of my Christian walk was to seek knowledge. I mean, I got rid of my TV. I got rid of my choppers. I got rid of my, my gun collection. I got rid of, my fishing boat. It was all just sitting there rotten. And when I realized I got something else to do here, I'm too busy here. I ain't got time for that, you know. I was seeking knowledge, and it wasn't common to me. Everybody knew me as somebody that was not seeking knowledge, but was just seeking fun, you know. And so, you know, knowledge can puff up, but if you're humble to the knowledge when it comes in, it will change you. If you repent, you know, which is something we have to do every day, not just when we so-called accept Jesus as our personal Savior, which is not even in the Bible. The Bible demands that we repent and believe. Repent means change your mind, believe what I tell you. Well, how are you going to know what he's telling you if you don't let the sower sow the seed in your heart? And if he does sow the seed in your heart, guess who that is? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have to change our mind. We've got bad software. We have to change our mind and repent and believe. Repent and believe. You have to do it every time you read the Bible. It's not a one-time step over the line type thing, you know, as religion would have you believe. He granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature of Christ, you see. And so he's given us these awesome promises here, and the more you read them, the more you get faith. The more you think on them, the more you get faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word, right? And so then you can partake of that fruit. This whole chapter here is talking about receiving fruit. Doesn't say anything about gifts. I love gifts. I've received gifts, and I love to see what they do to provide for the people of God, okay? But the foundation has got to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you, he said. Whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, there's a person that the Lord can trust with his gifts. Some people he cannot trust. In fact, he even gives them to them, and they abuse them, and they take credit for them, and they begin to lose the power, and they don't understand. You know, well, the truth is, God's ways are higher than our ways. He deserves the glory. We don't. We're just the dirt that he sows the seed in. He don't want the dirt, by the way. When he comes back, he's picking the fruit. He don't care about the plant. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, don't you know? He don't care about the plant. He wants the fruit. And the fruit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. It's Jesus Christ who's going to heaven. And to the extent that you have put the word of God in your heart, not just accepted him as your personal Savior, because you know you have to bear fruit of Jesus Christ. Well, what is it? How can you bear fruit? Well, first of all, when you get born again, you get a born again spirit in the likeness of Jesus, this born again spirit. And then as you begin to humble yourself to the word, Peter said, you get a born again soul. That's what he said. And so the soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. That's where you're bearing the fruit, not in your spirit. You received that spirit as a gift from God when you repented and he came into your life. But that spirit enables you to now walk after the born again soul. And that's what you need to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, the mind, the will, and the emotions. In other words, your old mind, will, and emotions must die. Your new mind, will, and emotions are that of Jesus Christ, because he is the Word. And the Word is what He's reprogramming our soul with. Okay? And He goes on to say here, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. Notice this. What does He want us to put into this scenario? The faith that He gave us. Adding on your part all diligence in your faith. Now, there's no comma behind diligence. That's a theologian put that there. There wasn't one in the beginning. It was just diligence in your faith. This is what we add. Now, notice, supply virtue. Notice, in your faith, supply virtue. And that's what it says in the original, by the way. Each one of these attributes of Christ is in the preceding one, and that goes all the way back to this faith. Everything is in faith. Adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. Some people don't think they can control themselves. Well, it's because you're not putting the Word in there. You have to be reprogrammed. You have to lose your life to gain your life, right? And in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And see, they're all each in. You ever known these little eggs? You know, you open up one egg, and then there's another smaller one inside, and you open that one up, and then there's another one inside. And all of them are in faith, because everything can be obtained through the gift of faith that God gave you, if you will use it. And for if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle nor unfruitful. Well, I hope not, because this is the most important thing. The parable of the sower lets you know that only one out of four people that received the Word. This is not talking about people that didn't receive the Word. This is people that received the Word. They heard the Word. They bore fruit. And the rest, for various reasons of loving the world and the things of the world and all kinds of excuses, have neglected their reprogramming. So they make you not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing of their own old sins. Do you know the gospel that Jesus took away your sins and nailed them on that cross? You don't have a problem. You don't have a problem with sin anymore. You might have a problem with unbelief, but you don't have a problem with sin. He nailed them on that cross. He gave you his life. His life is all these attributes. He gave these to you. He made reconciliation, which means an exchange. It means he exchanged his life for your life. That's why you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. Did you hear what he said? Yeah. You reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. That's how faith works. Calls the things that be not as though they were, right? And he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Some people say, well, I can't stop sinning. I'm always going to be a sinner saved by grace. Well, if you keep saying that, it's the truth. Because be it unto you according to your faith. But it is not the truth. But if you say it and you believe it, that's what you'll have. You'll always be a sinner. You're not reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin because of what happened on the cross. He took your sins away. He gave you his life. Now you don't live anymore. He lives in you. That's what Paul told us and showed us was the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Okay? So have you forgotten that your sins were taken away? Well, then if you've forgotten that, then you're never going to have all this fruit, because it's the very opposite of that sin. That sin resists this fruit. You've got to see, when you give God faith, he gives you what you ask for every time. That's what Jesus said. Okay, so have you forgotten the cleansing of your old sins? Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence. He just got through telling us be diligent in your faith, right? give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. Uh-oh. You mean not everybody that's called is elect? Well, exactly. What elect means is chosen. When the Lord goes out to reap his harvest, he's going out there to pick the fruit. And if you don't have it, you're in trouble. And by the way, it's just the fruits, not the plant. You just plow the plant back under, right? You don't want this body anymore anyway, do you? You don't want this natural life anymore anyway. You want Christ in you, the one who is growing in you like a baby born to a woman is Christ in you, okay? And you got to feed him. You got to feed that baby. You got to give him this word. This is what he thrives on. This is what he grows on. So on and so forth. Make your calling and election sure. There are many called, but few chosen. Chosen is the same word for elect here. Election. Chosen is the same word. Many are the called, but few are the chosen. He saved us and called us, he said in Timothy. He saved us. You get saved before you get called. This is not the calling to the world. This is a calling, and you check me out on this because I've looked up every word calling in the New Testament, and I know. When he's talking about a calling, he's talking about a calling to all of his people. He is calling you and inviting you to the marriage feast to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, to partake of his life and his nature, and to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. You are called, and you will be elect or you will be chosen if you accept that calling and not make excuses like they did. Oh, I'm too busy today, Lord. Married a wife, bought 5 yoke of oxen, got to go prove them. Not today, Lord. Well, a lot of people are that way. But the most important thing is putting Christ in you because he's the one that's going to heaven. Whether it's 30-fold, 60, or 100-fold, he is the one that's going into the kingdom. In fact, it tells you that right here. To make your calling and election sure. Now, how are you going to know if it's sure? If you bear fruit. Because when he goes and picks the fruit, it's chosen. The fruit is chosen. Not your old natural life or not your gifts. The fruit is chosen. Okay? For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. Oh, Lord, that's what we need right there. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. Are you reading this thing? Are you paying attention here? For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I thought all I had to do is accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, are you bearing fruit? Because according to Jesus in the parable of the sower, and according to Peter here, you got to bear fruit. Now, you're not accountable for the fruit that would be born down the road. You're only accountable for the fruit that you're supposed to be bearing right now. Okay? And by the way, faith is accounted as righteousness. Don't fear. Faith, even before you have received the thing you're believing for, is accounted as righteousness. And let me tell you this, if you walk the life of faith, you will receive. Don't let anybody sell you on that, I'm always going to be a sinner saved by grace. No, that's a lie. That's the Antichrist gospel. And he goes on to say, you'll enter the eternal kingdom. Where do we enter the kingdom? Well, he sent forth his angels to gather together his elect from one end of heaven to the other. And then in the other gospel, he said, from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. So where is one end of heaven? It's here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's among you. That's what Jesus said. We enter that kingdom here. It's a different kingdom than this world. You want to talk about a place of safety? Well, abide in Jesus Christ. That is the kingdom of God, right? So notice what he tells you to use your faith for. Go after this, these attributes of Jesus Christ, the nature of Jesus Christ. Go after these. If you get these, I guarantee you, you'll have the gifts and you'll have power, because Jesus can't live in you without gifts and power. He's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And as he is, even so are we in this world. Now that's a word of faith for you. As he is, even so are we in this world. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. And that is star glory, moon glory, sun glory. We grow through those stages of Christian growth into the image of Jesus Christ to his sun glory. That's what he gave his life to do. And Jesus is not going to have any problem with the tribulation period. The tribulation period is to try the saints who either want to or don't want to come into the image of Jesus Christ. And it's going to decide the difference between the wheat and the tares. And so this is what we need more than anything. This is the manifestation of salvation. This is the manifestation of sonship. Am I going overtime here?
David, I wanted to tell you, I said top of the hour, but because I took 15 minutes of your time, would you be so kind to go another 15 minutes?
Oh, well, sure.
So we can give you a full hour. If you're just tuning in, we're live with Pastor David Ells. David, may I inject a question for you that came in from the chat room? And some people wrote in and said, would you please ask Brother David if he could talk a little bit more on I think the scripture where Peter is talking about the saving of the soul. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. Saving of the soul is where you bear fruit. We have to come into his image, first spirit, then soul, and then body. And we're put here to bear the fruit of what God put in our spirit. And that fruit is the soul of Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Now, if you don't want to purify your souls, don't obey the truth, because that is the way. You say, well, you're making it a thing of works here, David. I'm making it a thing of God's works. There's a difference between man's works and God's works. By grace have you been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. And that is his works. His works through us, rather than our works to try to be accepted by God, which is impossible. Dirt is just going to be dirt. It's the seed that comes from heaven that he's after, not the dirt. So he says, seeing, once again, seeing. This is what you have to see in the spirit realm. You have to see it as done. Everything that you ask of God, you have to see it as done. You have to begin to see things differently. Beholding in a mirror Jesus is not natural, but it is faith, because he gave you himself. He gave you his life. It's yours. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again. The same word as born again. Now, he's talking to people who are already Christians. They've already received the Spirit of God, and now he's telling them how to be born from above. You know, obviously, you know, when I came into the kingdom and I started reading the Word of God, loving the Word of God, seeking after the Word of God, I wanted to put it into effect. I wanted to put it into use. You know, I tried my faith on everything. And I'll tell you what, God was faithful. He wanted to teach me, and he wanted to reward that. And he had given me the gift to desire the word anyway, because I don't think I'd read but one book all the way through in my whole life before I picked up the Bible. And so when I picked up the Bible, I read it through and through and through and through all the time. And the Lord saw that gift in me bearing fruit. It was a gift from him. It wasn't me. It was not natural to me whatsoever. It was something he gave me as a gift. But he'll give you that gift. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. And what I'm saying today is, more important than his gifts is him. He needs to live in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's not going to have a problem with the tribulation. He's not going to have a problem with resurrecting the dead. He's not going to have a problem with healing the sick. All those things are good, and they're very good evangelistic tools too, you know. But the most important thing that God wants is for you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, we just read, how do you get into his kingdom? You're entering his kingdom by receiving these attributes of Christ, because his kingdom is where he is king. When you're living out the attributes of Christ, he is king. He is becoming king over you, right? You're entering the kingdom of God here on earth, because that's the only place you can enter it. You cannot die a sinner here and enter it up there. You have to enter it here. This is what the Bible says. From the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. That's where he's gathering his elect, right? Well, let me redress this. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God. The incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ is the word of God. It's not like any other word. If you go to our site, for instance, and you get the Numeric English New Testament, you're going to see how God put a pattern through the whole Bible and in the New Testament too, a pattern of divisibilities that is in no other book. I'm talking about in every letter in its place in the original Greek and Hebrew. Matter of fact, you can find out what the original Greek and Hebrew is because of the pattern. It's so tremendous. The Bible really is a supernatural book. And I became very impressed with the numeric pattern early, and I started using it to find there's obviously any Bible you pick up could come from different manuscripts, and you never know which manuscript's right here or wrong here. I'm not trying to put the Bible down. It doesn't matter. Any Bible you pick up, you can get salvation there. You can grow in Christ there. But for teachers and people that want to dig deeper, let me say that you can find out what the original word is and get the translation of the original word through numerics. Well, you can find these on our site. Numeric English New Testament. It is the most accurate New Testament in the world, bar none. And the facts are the facts. You can't fool math. The math of God is all through the book. And he does it that way so that we can always go back to the original. He designed it that way. It is a supernatural book. But anyway, I'm getting away from the point here. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. Look what's going to live through this thing. The word of the Lord is going to live through this thing. Your flesh is not. And the sooner the better, because the sooner this happens, the sooner Christ will walk in that body. That's what we desire. We are the body of Christ. We say that by faith. But it also has a manifestation. And if you hold fast to your faith, it will be manifest. And you will manifest the sonship that the Bible talks about. The manifestation of the sons of God. It's what the Bible teaches. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. So you want to know what is eternal life? It is the word of the Lord living in you. It's eternal. Okay? Whether it's 30, 60, or 100, it's eternal. And this is the word of good tidings, which was preached unto you. putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Yes, that's what it says in the original, unto salvation. You know, salvation is instant, but it's by faith, but it's also progressive by manifestation. That's one of the books I mentioned to you, Salvation Instant and Progressive. It's a revelation. It's an eye-opener. It motivates you to run after Jesus so you can bear that fruit and let Christ live in you. Christ wants to live in you. He wants to do these works through you. You'll discover that it's not hard when he does it through you. And I studied the mechanics of faith as a young man, but then it started becoming more natural. You know, I mean, I studied the mechanics. Oh, this is what faith is, and believing you've received something when you don't see it, and so on and so forth, you know. But God wants it to become natural, not second nature, first nature in you, you know. So this born-again soul is your mind, will, and emotions being conformed to Jesus Christ through repenting as you read the Word. See, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you walk in the steps of Jesus? How can you follow Jesus if you don't agree with him? First of all, you're not going to agree this is Jesus. You're not going to agree that's Jesus. And yet it's the Word of God. But the Word of God is so contrary to our human nature that we can't trust in ourselves. We have to read it and repent and change our mind as we read it and kick out all these other thoughts that are destroying us. We got a virus, you see, and it has to be kicked out, and we have to renew our mind with the Word of God. The Word is Jesus Christ. Did you notice when he came back on the horse? What's his name on this? The Word of God, right? That is who Jesus is. And so we have to respect the Word of God so much that we won't add to it or take away from it one jot or tittle. And he warns you in the end of the book, if you take away from it, you'll take away your part in the tree of life. And if you add to it, he'll add to you the plagues that are written in the book. That's not good. Well, that's just how important it is to believe only the Word of God. You don't need any religion. You don't need men to tell you what it means. You need to go in there and find out for yourself. You cannot trust anybody. You cannot trust anybody. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Get into the Word. Find out the truth. Don't make up your mind too quickly, because the sum of thy words is truth. You know, if you're willing to repent, if you're willing to lose your life, you'll be able to do this through faith in Jesus Christ. They ask him, what must we do to do the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. That's it. That was his answer, and that's the truth. Believe on him whom he has sent. The traditions of men are destroying the manifestation of Christ in his body. And you wonder why the church all wants to fly away as filthy and dirty as they are right now, thinking that all God wants is this position in Christ. No, he's coming for the fruit of what he has sown in the earth. The sower went forth and sowed the seed, and the seed was the Word of God. And in that, in some places in Matthew 13, the word seed there is sperma. The sperma of God is his Word. The sperma of God. He sows that seed in our heart, and it brings forth Christ in our hearts. And he wants to live in us. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. And so, you need Jesus Christ. You need him every day. You don't just accept him one day and then go on about your business like the church teaches, because that's what they did, and it didn't bear any fruit in them, right? So, I mean, there's nothing more important to you than having fellowship with Jesus Christ through the Word of God, and the gifts will follow. I guarantee it. You don't have to beg God for the gifts. They're going to come naturally, just like they came to Jesus. Right? Because Jesus in you is the one that can operate the gifts. He is trustworthy, right? And in order to get Jesus in you, you need to renew your mind with the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He was talking to Christians. He was talking to Christians. So if you've been faithful and you bear fruit, you'll get a born-again body. I mean, you're going to come into the image of Jesus Christ in his heavenly state. That's the plan of God. And he even offers you hundredfold fruit, not because it has anything to do with your ability. It has nothing to do with our ability. People say we can't be perfect. Well, are you saying God cannot make you perfect? The word perfect means mature, right? Are you saying God cannot do this? Or are you just saying it can't happen because you can't do this? You can't do anything without him. And if he's the one with the power, then you need to put your faith in him. Look up the word perfection, for instance, in the Bible. You'll find out they've lied to you, totally lied to you. You know, Jesus Christ can do a big a miracle in you as he did when you first met him. And he can do it all the way through your soul salvation. You know, he doesn't want you to give up that original faith that you had, that fresh faith that you had. I think I'm going over time again.
Brother David, we are out of time for this evening. But what a powerful teaching tonight. Man, time flies every time you come on. This is so good. This is the pure word of God being preached tonight. If you're enjoying tonight, I want to encourage people out there to go to David's website. He's going to give it out here in a minute. He does teachings there, and he's got some awesome books out that I have also, and I'm going to be reading. And I want to encourage you to support the ministry of Unleavened Bread Ministries. And Brother David, I want you to pray about coming on an hour every week. Now, I know that's a tall request, but somehow, maybe the Lord can make it happen. If not, I'll take you whatever you got per month.
He can do miracles.
Yes, he can. And I can also open up an early time slot any time that suits you. So you pray about it. We'll see what the Lord says. Brother David, before you close in prayer, tell people how they can get to your website and support your ministry, please.
Well, just UBM1.org. That's Unleavened Bread Ministries 1.org. And like I said, everything on our site, you can get it for free. You know, the books, we have to get somebody to print them for us, but everything else is for free, and the book itself is for free. Each one of them, you can go there, and it's a free ebook. So we're not into the thing for money. We give, and the Lord will give to us. That's how it works. That's what Jesus said. Freely you have received, freely give. And if you do that, he will make sure that you're able to continue doing that. So that's UBM1.org.
Okay, awesome. And what days do you do your broadcast?
Wednesdays and Sundays. And that's on the front, the top of our front page there. You'll see it.
Fantastic.
You can enter into that.
Brother David, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. What shall we title tonight's teaching?
Gee, I don't know. I always have a problem with that.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind?
Okay, that's good.
Is that good? Okay, would you like to close in prayer?
Sure. Well, Father, you call it the good news, and it is really good news once we discover it. And I know many of your people don't know what the good news is, and the good news is that you have given us Jesus Christ. We have a new heritage. All the sin and corruption that we inherited from our parents is dead and gone and nailed to the cross, and you've given us your life. And we can reach out and take your life by faith and accept that we don't live anymore, that Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And we thank you, Father, for finishing that work. We thank you for putting that faith into all the brethren out there that they shouldn't be looking in the mirror at the natural man, because they're not going to grow that way. I mean, look in the mirror and kick yourself for who you are. Look in the mirror and see Jesus and accept that gift. And because reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Thank you, Father, for this unspeakable gift in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Well, good night, saints. Bless you.
Let me pray for you, David, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the word that was preached tonight. Bless Brother David and his family, everybody at UBM. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, expand their territories, their ministry, their tent pegs. Bless their finances. And strengthen them, Lord, for all that you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave,
amen. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome here anytime. We love and appreciate you. If you're coming in late tonight, we'll have this up in the archives later tonight. I'll be back in touch with you in a few days to talk to you about your next date. God bless you, David.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
Take
bless
care.
You.